Songs today, the unclouded day, the song says, oh, the land of unclouded sky, they tell me of a land far away. And a microphone that needs to be turned off. And we're going to go there. Oh, the land of the unclouded day. The other song was, I'll fly away. Well, I'll fly away, oh glory. Some day soon, I'll fly away. And then our song that we just sang, the sweet by and by. And all of these things have to relate to this particular section of chapter 15. And it's about the resurrection body. How many of you like Christmas? Christmas morning. And you, Christmas morning, you're around the tree, and you've got the boxes, and you open them up. How about your birthday? You have a birthday party, and you go someplace, and you're, oh, you didn't have to get me anything, but boy, do you reach for those envelopes and those boxes. And with happy anticipation, you're going to open them up and see what the gift is going to be. Of all the things that Christians should have in their life, it's this expectation. It's that Christmas morning birthday feeling about what's going to happen when you die. See, the non-believer has fear and apprehension and, oh my gosh, what's going to happen and all that. But the Christian, the Christian, when we die, we get a new body, a new resurrected body. And this whole concept of resurrection is so important. I noticed I was doing the thing in the entire chapter 13 of this 1 Corinthians book. That's that love chapter. Love is this, love is that, love is that. The whole entire chapter is 20 or 30 verses. In this chapter on resurrection, Paul has 58 verses just on the resurrection. You think resurrection is important? Oh, I think so. And so we talked about Christ. The resurrection of Christ was so important. And the takeaway I wanted you to get from that is that Christ is the first fruits. He is the sample of what the crop's going to be like. And that's us. So it's so important that he, not only did he resurrect, but he resurrected in a physical perfected body. He's the sample. He's the first fruit. Look, everybody, this is what it's going to be like when I come back for you. We talked about the resurrection of the dead. We shouldn't be distressed about those who have died because the dead in Christ, they're locked in. They're good to go. Their fate is sealed in the most positive way possible. And so what do we get when we open up the box, when we open up the envelope? When we're talking about the resurrection, we're talking about the resurrected body. As we went through this verse, Paul talks about what happens to Christians after we die. In verses 20, 28, last couple weeks, Paul showed that because of Christ's bodily resurrection from the dead, there must be a bodily resurrection for Christians. In verses 29 through 34, Paul pointed out that it would be meaningless to live as a Christian if there was no bodily resurrection. If there is no bodily resurrection, remember what he said, if there's no bodily resurrection, we are to be pitied of all people. Not only that, we're proving God a liar, because God said there'd be a resurrection. So today, we're going to look at the resurrection body. But let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we ask as we go into your word that you would show us something today that would encourage our heart. We want to come away today with great anticipation of what you have in store for us when you call us home. Be with us. Open our hearts and minds to this message, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin. Paul starts out this way. He says, but someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? That's a logical question, right? So we talk about life eternal and a resurrection. Well, basically, this is that old question like, well, how does that work exactly? Well, Paul's response is kind of blunt. He says, you foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So that sounds like a little bit of confusion, but we want to clarify how that works out, you see. Because what Paul is saying here is, he's asked, the question is, how are the dead raised? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Paul explains that death is not an obstacle, but rather a means to the resurrection body. You need to die first in order to get your resurrected body. You can't be alive and suddenly transform into your resurrection body. There's kind of a process that goes in there. The mortal body that you have now is only a stage in your development. Do you see that? It's only a stage in your development. We've talked about this before. If you look at your eternity from the moment you're born all the way to eternity, this life that you're living right now is only the most tiny, tiny, tiny sliver of eternity. What happens for the rest of eternity is what really matters. So we get through the trials and tribulations in life by looking ahead. Paul says, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. So seeds have to die to produce a plant. They get buried in the ground. So even so, our body must die to produce our resurrected body. In both cases, death is the means to a new body. So what Paul is trying to say is something is not what it looks like eventually. Now, somebody tell me what this is. Let me hear you. What is this? You're wrong. It's not a pine cone. This is a pine tree. This is a pine tree. Now, we have another pine tree that's out there by the fellowship hall. I love that tree. This is a tall, magnificent pine tree. And yes, I'm always worried that it's going to fall over, but for the moment, it's this big, beautiful, majestic pine tree. But see, this is a pine tree too. If you could take the seed out of here and do a DNA test on it, the botanist would say, well, that's a pine tree. If you take a piece of that tree out there and do a DNA test on it, they would say, well, that's a pine tree. This is a pine tree, and so is that. But this is like your mortal body today. It has its function, and it works a certain way. And the only way you're going to get the big, beautiful, majestic pine tree that's out there is if this thing falls off on the ground. Because when this thing falls off on the ground, the seeds come out. In fact, you may not know this, but in the wild, let's say, the way forests perpetuate themselves, pine forests anyway, a lot of times it's because of the fires. When they have the fires, the tree is destroyed, right? And because of the fire, the pine cones all fall off. But you know what? The heat of the fire causes the pine cone to open up and release all of the seeds. And then when the rain comes, the seeds germinate. And without any help from man, you get new pine trees. So we're like this. This is us now. That tree out there is your majestic resurrected body, because that's how it works. There needs to be a death before we can move on to the new promised body. So Paul goes on to talk a little bit about what's the nature. For not all flesh is the same. This is verse 39. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For stars differ from star in glory. Now this is Paul being a little confusing. He's going through this. There's this and there's that, and there's this and there's that, and there's this and that. But he's trying to make a point. And his point is, there are different forms of things. There are different forms of things. And there are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. So our earthly bodies have certain attributes. And when the time comes, they're going to be changed into another kind of body. And this is what we have to look forward to. We know this from Sunday school, if you've been to Sunday school, that someday we're all of our ills are going to be gone and we're going to live forever and run and jump and all that sort of thing. Well, where do we get that? It begins here. With Paul trying to tell you that this resurrection body is the jackpot, folks. It's the Christmas box ripped open and there it is. Your most favorite gift that you could ever imagine on Christmas morning. Think about that. Think about that feeling. Think about back when you were a kid and you wanted something for Christmas and you wanted it really, really badly, and you've asked mom and dad, because we're mom and dad, you know, we'll see. And then Christmas morning comes, and you get this box out from under the tree, and with great anticipation, you rip up all the paper, and you open up the box, and what you wanted with all of your heart is in the box. Anybody remember that feeling? That's the way we should be thinking about our resurrected body. It's the payoff. It's the jackpot. It's what it's all about. If you read Genesis and you talk about the creation story of Adam and Eve, the implication is that Adam and Eve were made perfect. There's a school of thought, which I kind of agree with, that had Adam and Eve never sinned, now this is not absolute theology, folks, just bear with me, but it is my belief that had Adam and Eve never sinned, the entire human race would have consisted of Adam and Eve. Because God doesn't need quantity, he needs quality of worship. They were perfect. And how do I know that? Because the Bible says death entered through the sin, which says there was no death before. So had they never sinned, they were perfect in all things.